Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
Your mic is on.
And 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
That's what we love.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Suts. Bit of in excess. Get you ready for Thursday night footy. Welcome to our regular listeners through the Super Radio Network. SEN 1170, SENQ, 693 AM, Track, Fanatic, the app. All of our listeners over in New Zealand through SENZ as well, with thanks to the new and refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV available now at your nearest Kia dealer, and Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Australian farmers. Give us a call or a text throughout the show tonight, 0457 736 736 8833 if you're in New Zealand, or give us a call on 1300 01 1170. Alex Molchanov sitting in the chair a little
bit.
The
maestro.
Well, I'm hoping it's a bit of a familiar voice by now. Sats, very excited to be sat alongside you for a little run-up to Thursday night footy. How are you, mate?
Can't wait. Can't wait for this game. Can't wait for this weekend. I love Monday footy, Alex. I wasn't a huge fan of Monday night footy, but I love it on special occasions.
Yes.
I love that Monday footy is that West Tigers Parramatta game. We've seen some really good games over the last couple of years. I was listening to the guys from The Run Home earlier on, and Sugar was talking about, I think it was last year, Mike Acevo scores to win the game. Jackson Hastings 2 years ago kicks a long-range field goal. Those exciting scenes. Michael Maguire going crazy in the coach's box. So
I go all the way back to the opening of CommBank. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was
packed
too.
Packed house.
Mitchell Moses, that long-range try.
And Mitch Moses was just brilliant that night, and it was, you know, an atmosphere that we're getting accustomed to out there. So I'm hoping we get a repeat of that on Monday. You think the Tigers are any chance for that?
Absolutely they are. Yeah, without Mitchell Moses, I think absolutely they are 100%. I anticipate that Clint Gutherson, even named at fullback, will probably play 5/8 and maybe Taulagi play fullback, even though
over
he's been named
on,
in the halves.
Over-under on appeals to the referee from Gutho. So a little bit of a low blow to start.
Yeah. but we've got some great matchups, of course. Panthers Roosters tonight, and on SEN League, you'll be able to hear that. It's a great matchup because they've got this great rivalry, the Panthers and the Roosters. And a lot of people wonder, where does this rivalry come from? It doesn't matter where Panthers over the years have sat on the ladder, Maestro, because usually the Panthers have always had the wood on the Roosters for whatever reason. Now, it dates back to 1994.
Yes.
When Phil Gould, he left Penrith and went to the Roosters at the end of the year. Mm. Arthur Beetson was the coach for the last probably four or five rounds. Phil Gould took over as the last game of the Roosters. He took over the coaching for the last game in 94. Mm. And then when he went to the Roosters through that ARL and Super League war, he then took Matty Singh and one of their favourite sons in Freddie Fittler to the Roosters for that Super League year, 97. And so that's where the rivalry really began, when they took Freddie from Penrith, and the both teams come back together. They've had some almighty clashes, both these sides. Even though there's no Nathan Cleary, named James Fisher-Harris, and for the Roosters, they've got a couple of missing as well, but a couple back. I've got to say, this has everything. This has everything, this game. I cannot wait for it. And, of course, the debut of Mav Guy, and we're going to hear from his uncle Brandy very, very soon.
Yeah, looking forward to that. There was a certain grand final that I seem to remember you featuring in between these two teams as well.
Oh, that old thing.
Have you had to talk about that at all this week, or have you avoided the topic?
No, not at all.
Not
a
Steve from
Do you
Dubbo,
ever avoid the topic?
Steve from Dubbo on the text line, 0457 736 736, says he's a massive Parramatta fan. He says,
yes,
Sats,
yes,
we're only 6 minutes in and you're already being a flog. Tigers are no chance. Steve, everyone's
gonna,
a chance on their day, Steve.
I'm going to hitch my wagon to yours. I think the Tigers are a real shout. If they can match him with them in the middle. In saying that, I'm a bit salty still because the Eels got the better of my Sea Eagles last weekend.
Mm.
And they were superb. Sats. Yep. They really, really were. They had to be because Manly didn't play badly that night. Some of the errors snuck in.
Yep.
But, they're playing some really, really good footy at the moment.
And I think on paper, they're just from strike power. And many will say, well, what about the Panthers? They've won the last three comps. They've been in four grand finals. But when you put them down on paper, just from a strike force point of view and strike players, I think they're the most dangerous team on paper.
Having Junior Bowler come off the bench and have the impact he did in that game was frightening. They're not too, even the Panthers don't really have that sort of strike anymore. They might have last year when they had Spencer Lenu coming off the bench. But
oh, you're talking about Parra. I'm talking about the Roosters.
Parra. Well, the Roosters. Well, see, we're on different pages already. Yeah. But, yeah, I think Parra... Well, there you go. There's another team with strike. I mean, there's a lot of teams up front this year that have built really, really strong forwards. And, we're going to see a clash between two of them tonight, which is really, really exciting as well. That'll be all in our warm-up segment, thanks to Reem, a little bit later on, where we go through a full preview, if you haven't already, of the Roosters and the Panthers. You'll hear that from 7 o'clock tonight on SEN League with Joel Kane, Brett Camorley and Spud Carroll. As you've already mentioned, Sats, we've got Brandy Alexander coming up on the way out to the game tonight at Allianz Stadium. Very, very exciting for the Alexander and the Gaia families out there. The hot topic coming up thanks to Apple iSports. And make sure, if you missed Sats and Rat's interview with Willie Mason earlier in the week, you can catch that on the SEN League page on Spotify. How good was Big Mace the other night?
We went a little bit too long, I've got to say, but that's what happens with Mace. He just loves the chat. And we played some audio back to him through the interview, like when he got announced as the Clive Churchill Medal and different things throughout his career. And he got a little bit sympathetic, like he was, he was sort of a little bit emotional. He was saying, thanks, guys, listening to old audio back. It's 20 years since that great Bulldogs team won that comp. Now, many will say, hang on a sec, they broke the salary cap in 02. They kept a lot of those players through 03 and 04. But guess what? The Bulldogs had a lot of friends in the comp that were twisting the salary cap. So, but they were a great side. And 20 years this year that they won that premiership against the Roosters.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's something to look back on as we continue to look forward. Just a quick mention tonight as well, the other bit of live sport, the NBL final, grand final continues in Tassie. The Jack Jumpers are a game away from their first championship in just their third season, which would be quite remarkable against the Melbourne United, who I can say, having watched a lot of the NBL this year, have been the dominant force. So to win a five-game series against them will be something special. So we certainly have our eyes on that tonight as well. Let's get a Club New South Wales update. Thanks to your local club where sports fans belong. Now, Cohen, our producer, has written this. Matt Maguire is reportedly asking for New South Wales players to stop criticising the side as the incoming Blues coach tries to implement a new culture. Do you think it's a case of that? I think that's being a bit harsh on Matt.
No.
Matt, I think he's trying to establish a relationship with these former players.
Well, that's what he's trying to do. A lot of former Blues players, of course, either working in the media or are often commenting in the media. So back in the day, Maestro, when Queensland needed to be fired up coming to a big match, Wayne Bennett used to call the former front rower, Greg Dowling, and he said, I want you to come out and call the Queensland forward pack soft. And so that's what he'd do. He was just human headline. He'd come out and say, oh, the Queensland pack are soft. They've got to stand up. And Queensland would invariably come out and win the game. So, but with New South Wales,
it's always the other way.
Well, they would like to kill their own, the New South Wales fans, sometimes. And
yes.
The media can be very harsh against their State of Origin side, their Blues side in the media. They're always asking questions about selection criteria and who should and shouldn't be in, and this is a disgrace that this guy wasn't picked. And then you've got former players who are very critical of what's going on with the Blues. So Madge is basically saying it's a call to arms. Let's follow the routine that Queensland do each and every year, which is whatever team we put out there, let's just get behind them and let's just hopefully have this wave of support that overwhelms the Queensland supporters. So
Do you think most of that noise actually comes from ex-players? Because from deep down here and amongst it.
No, it usually comes from the journos.
Most of it comes from the writers,
yeah.
Right?
It does. Yeah, it does. It does. Absolutely it does. And there are a lot of former players, and it's only comes from a place of passion. That's all it is. And
yeah.
Madge is just saying, I want you to keep that passion, but we just need to channel it differently towards our side. So, what he's doing is he's meeting with a lot of those journos that he's already had relationships with from his coaching days when he was at South and the West Tigers. But what he's doing now is probably trying to get on a little bit more of a level communication line with them when it comes to Origin. I like it. It's a smart move.
That's just smart.
That's
right?
Coming from a Queenslander too.
Wow. Thanks, Sats. We'll take that down here. This is the club's New South Wales update. Thanks to your local club where sports fans belong. Then the next question, and I know there's been a little bit of chatter about Origin already up in Queensland because of the injuries that have come through. For New South Wales, I think it'll be interesting to see that first side that Madge selects when that comes around, because there's been question marks over players like James Tedesco. Obviously, New South Wales getting more and more players back with fitness, but that'll be the key one. One is what he does with the captaincy, what he does with James Tedesco, who started this season in terrific form. Which way do you think he'll go? Do you think he'll stick with Teddy? Will he stick someone like Tom Trbojevic back there, even a Latrell Mitchell, or is that the formula he needs to go back to is that game in Perth where all three started and Queensland couldn't deal with it.
Well, it's fair to say that Latrell, if he's in the frame at the moment, that he's got to be playing better week in, week out.
Yes.
Based on form, and that Madge has always said that he's going to pick his team on form. And we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago and he said, I don't have any players per se locked into the positions. And what he was trying to say without saying it is we've lost three of the last four Origin series. And I'm up against a very good coach in Billy Slater.
And how many of them were they favourites in?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah, you probably a majority of those games. So what he's trying to say without saying is we need to make a change. Mm. And the only way we can make a change is by changing personnel who have regularly been there but unfortunately haven't been able to come home with the bickies. Mm. Now, there are some players you would think that would be locked in their positions. You know, Nathan Cleary, if fit, he'd be locked into a position. You would think that James Tedesco would be locked into a position. But then again, the question is Tedesco's won everything, but he's never captained a grand final winning team.
Yeah.
But I've got no doubt he's going to be, and the listeners would have heard me say this previously, I've got no doubt there would be a voice in his head saying, you know what, I'm playing so well, I've got this really good rhythm and I'm in a really good routine at the moment. I don't want to upset that, even though I love playing for New South Wales. I really want to captain a premiership. So based on his form, the way he's going leading into selections and how the Roosters will be going possibly by that time, maybe he may not want to like abandon ship if you'd like to say going to Origin and putting the Roosters behind the eight ball. So that's going to be interesting how it plays out. So either way, if Tedesco plays, Trbojevic finds a position somewhere. Mm.
It's been brilliant. The storyline's already coming out of this season, and Origin's just going to be another close watch as we get along. If your community or sporting group needs some extra support, head to clubgrants.com.au. Now let's get to a quick sports update. Thanks to Keno Go. Keno Go's $40 million jackpot. What would you do with that, Sats? $40 million. Download
the app
now. Well,
I wouldn't be talking to you, Maestro. I know that. I'd go design a golf course.
Oh yeah.
That only me and my friends can play on.
Okay.
Myself and my friends.
I've got a bit of work to do then.
No,
clearly.
You'd be able to play golf, but I wouldn't be talking to you like right on radio. No, I would be actually. I would be.
You would be? You enjoy it that much?
Then I can't get to talk to people like Lester from Penrith and
exactly.
And Rabbitborough Tomorrow and Steve from Dubbo and Crime Scene, the crankiest man on radio, Rooster Muzz, all these great people that support. Glenn, of course. We wouldn't get to talk to all these people, so.
Has Glenn called already? We'll have to check that.
He hasn't called, but he's already sent a text in, so
with his
tips.
Let's get to the big sports story of the day outside the NRL. And Sats, you're not going to the Gabba. I've heard you be pretty strong on this because of the AFL drug revelations already, and they've developed further today. The AFL have come out. They haven't denied anything that's been put out there by Andrew Wilkie in Parliament down there. The journos are clearly all over this now. But you've been pretty strong on the way the AFL have gone about this and what you think they've done wrong.
Well, no, I'm not on my own. I mean, I think everyone...
No, definitely not.
I think everyone has been appalled by the way the AFL have handled this. Yeah, I was invited to go to the Lions tonight to watch Collingwood, the grand final rematch, and I'm not going to go, one, because I think it's disgusting the way this has played out, and the AFL have admitted that they've been across this, you know, systematic process around players and weekly drug tests. And if you do test positive, well, it's best probably not to play on the weekend in case WADA or SADA get you. It's a case of fraud in some case. You're deceiving people for possible return of money.
Yep.
And so there's going to be a lot more to play out with this, not from an AFL point of view, but possibly from a legality point of view as well. So, so I felt as though that I'd be very hypocritical if I went to the AFL tonight. And I'll end up going and watching AFL again, and because I do love the game, I'll watch it again on TV. But at the moment, I can't do it. And I suppose last night what I was trying to say is that I was astounded that the AFL are okay with this process. Yeah. And as a sport that feel as though that like to bang on about the health and well-being of their athletes, male and female, whatever it may be, they're actually in essence enabling young athletes to engage in a really dangerous practice. And in some cases, that can have really, really bad outcomes for individuals. Now, we saw two female AFLW players caught in possession of cocaine. Now, they've been stood down for a number of games. So what they're saying is, if you ingest drugs, you take drugs, and you tell your club representative and they drug test you and you're a positive, well, we've got a process we can follow, so the game isn't seen in a bad light.
Yeah.
But if you have got it in your possession and the police catch you, well, you're on your own.
Yes.
We're not here to help you. But in fact, what we're going to do is we're going to stand you down, which they should, but you can't have your cake and eat it also.
No. And it's been very much in contrast to, I think, the way the NRL has dealt with these sorts of issues over the past couple of years. When you look back at Reece Walsh, Mitch Kenny, Brent Naden, before that grand final, it's all been very out in the open. And that's not to say, you know, there's no NRL players who are engaging in that sort of behaviour whatsoever. But I think as a league and as a community, the NRL are dealing with it very differently. And the way I think it should be dealt with, I tend to agree with you. And I'm glad you've stood solid on your thoughts there,
yeah,
which is
fantastic. And we've got Steve has said their actions are premeditated. They should receive no support. And NRL Rooster Collector has said 100% correct. It's incredibly naive. It sends a poor message. They should be stripped of all government funding.
I can't agree more. Have you heard this number? They've received $130 million over the past decade of funding from governments, from Sports Australia. Like, it does become an issue when you're signed up to, you know, you're operating under the state of law and you're happy to take their money. You're a public enterprise, essentially.
Yep.
That doesn't sit too well with me, just like you've outlined there. It's not right. That was our sports update. Thanks to Keno Go. Keno Go's $40 million jackpot. Download the app now. Now, in better news, more exciting news, we've got Brandy Alexander coming up.
He's a good
guy. Looking forward to that.
Very excited for his family tonight.
So quick break and we'll be back with Brandy.
The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment.
Uncle Greg, Dad, Ben, like all the family members sort of definitely played for Penrith, and I've lived in my whole life, so that's sort of all I've known, really, like footy and Penrith. That's how I was brought up, I love it, and it just makes it more special when, you know, Penrith's sort of like a family to me. Like, I know it's cliche and people say that about the clubs they're at, but when it's literally your backyard and you live 2 minutes away from where you train and that's all you've ever known, it's something special.
Well, that was audio from an interview we did with Mav Geyer a couple of months back, and it's a special day for the Geyer and also the Alexander family as Mav Geyer makes his first grade debut tonight for the Penny Panthers up against the Roosters, that game on SEN League very, very soon. And on the line, we have his uncle, Greg Brandy Alexander, who will be very excited, he and the family. How are you, Brandy?
Yeah, good, Sat.
Yeah, thank you,
getting
mate.
Getting ready to head into Allianz Stadium.
good stuff. And you're obviously very excited. Now, what I did see on social media today from the Penrith Panthers is yourself and MG and Megan, your sister, and Logan was there as well, Mav's brother, presenting his jersey to him in front of the boys. That must have been yesterday at Captain's Run. How was that?
Fantastic, Sats. Really was. And it was good to... Megan got such a buzz out of it. You know, she said, I couldn't believe the reception we got from the team. And even MG said, oh, that blew me away, just what the team and the staff were like. And, you know, Megan grew up with, you know, me, Pete and Ben playing grade. And, you know, it was a footy family, our family. And my two sisters grew up with it. So she said, look, I've experienced a lot of things in footy and highs, lows. She said, handing the jersey out yesterday, walking into that shed and getting that reception from those boys was, you know, she said, that's as good as it gets.
Do you know, and I know for a fact how popular he is amongst that playing group. He's a huge cog in that very successful side. Now, ironically, Brandy, today is also the anniversary of you making your debut. Was it 40 years ago?
Sats, I nearly drove off the road. I quickly finished the show with Vossie yesterday. I had to get out to Penrith by 10:15. And as I was driving out, Dean Ritchie rang me and he said, Brandy, did you know you debuted this today, tomorrow, 40 years ago? And I didn't know, of course. 28th of March isn't a date that sort of is important to me, but yeah, pointed it out. Sats, I've always regarded the next week as my debut game because I always thought debut game was when you started. But yeah, it was only last year that I recalled my, you know, I ran on against Manly the week before for a 15-minute stint. So the debut was the week before I thought it was.
Okay. Now, hopefully it's a good memory, yours, and hopefully Mav's got a good memory tonight. Now, when you look at MG's game, what attributes on the field has Mav got that's like his dad? Because he plays in the same. I know what he's like. He's a fine back rower, but what attributes has he got of his dad's?
He's tough. He doesn't play. He's a different type of runner to MG. Mav's a, I would say MG, but he was also, he had some footwork. He was 6'5" halfback at times. He could stop and prop and offload. And Mav's a sort of typical back roller these days, big, mobile, good at hitting the line. He's got a bit of footwork, Mavie, but not the MG step or offload. And I haven't seen him destroy sides like MG did when he didn't have the ball. But he's a tough boy, and he's worked hard to get to where he is.
What are some of the attributes you hope he doesn't get from MG on the field?
Well, I haven't spent that many nights out with Mav, so you know, I don't think I'd have to save the night by stopping Mav knocking someone out. So I don't think he's got that attribute that MG had. I can't remember the amount of times I was referee in a situation when we were out somewhere, and I said, MG, you know, if you hit this bloke, you're going to spoil the whole night. It's our night's on the line. Just take a deep breath and don't look at him. Look the other way. I don't think I'd have to give that advice to Mav.
And Brandy, Alex here, this is just great to listen to. I didn't want to jump in too early, Saz, because it's just... Oh, I'm so excited. I can't imagine how you're feeling tonight, Brandy. Where are you watching? Are you out there with in a box somewhere, or are you on the call? What's the plan?
Yeah, you're not working, Alex, so which is good. And just heading out with the family. I've got three boys coming and Tan. So they'll be about... one of my boys drove out to Penrith so he could get on the Penrith bus to then head back into Allianz Stadium because... I think there's two buses coming in from Penrith, so I reckon there's going to be about 60 of us in a section at Allianz Stadium. Not sure exactly where, but there's a big crew from Penrith coming, and we're all heading in from the Northern Beaches too.
Matching shirts, or we all separate?
Yeah, no, the guys have got matching shirts. Yeah, they've got shirts for us. So. We're all in the same shirt. I was at Cogger last week when Jesse Marski made his debut, and I was on the field pre-game, and the camera panned to a group of spectators that all had the same shirts on, celebrating Jesse Marski's debut. And amongst that group were, you know, teammates or former teammates in Angus Crichton, Victor Radley, Brandon Smith, all had the T-shirts on. So I'll be donning my shirt proudly tonight too.
And on a broader point on the Panthers, obviously Nathan's out with that well-publicised hamstring injury. Brad Schneider comes in. He's made a good start to his NRL career. You seen much of him from the Raiders days, and what do you make of him pairing up with Jerome in the halves tonight?
Yeah, I think he's a good player, Alex. You know, and do remember him playing at the Raiders, and watched a little bit of his English Super League career. He went across and played 11 games and got the team. I think it was hard, got them into the Challenge Cup final with a couple of field goals to win games. But he's a genuine seven, and while there's been a fair bit of talk about Jerome, you know, we'll get a look at what Jerome's going to offer the Tigers. I don't know if it'll go that far. Right, Jerome might touch the ball a few more times than what he normally does with Nathan there, but I think Brad Schneider will control the team as Sean O'Sullivan did and as Jack Cogger did. Jerome will touch the ball more, but it won't be Jerome and Brad Schneider just play a sort of a helping hand. So I'm looking forward to him playing, and it's a big challenge. It's his first go at it with the first graders, and I will say, you know, if the Roosters, it's a massive game for the Roosters. Now, I know they're coming off a win against the Bunnies, but you know, in terms of what's happened with these two teams over the past 4 years, if the Roosters don't get over the top of Penrith tonight without James Fisher-Harris, Nathan Cleary and Scott Sorensen, I don't know what that I don't know where that improves in the future. Like, I don't know what that does to their season with that hanging over their head if they can't get it done tonight. I know they're missing Lindsay Collins, but this, I think it's an important game for the Roosters to win if they think they can win the comp.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've had a bit of the wood over the Roosters over the years. Doesn't matter where the Panthers have been sitting, have they? Now, Brandy, before we let you go, you're on your way into Allianz. Now, is your wife Tanya in the car with you as well?
She's in the car, Sats, yes.
So, Tanya, if you could please can you inform the listeners about Brandy singing and dancing in Queenstown? And can you give it a rating out of 10? Because I've got a photo of your reaction. So a rating out of 10 of Brandy singing and dancing.
She's got 9 fingers up. She doesn't have to say anything. Yeah. She's just giving me a 9 out of 10. Oh, she's rock solid.
Yeah, you've got your hand over a mouth and driving with one hand. That's what you're doing. Hey, Brandy, congratulations to you and the family. Exciting night tonight for yourself and the Guy family as well. And hope you have a great night.
Good on you, Sats. Good to talk. Thanks, Alex.
We're back. The new refined 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV.
Your mic is on.
Nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Alex Bolchanoff and Scott Sattler with you on this Thursday night. In the run-up to SEN League's coverage of the Roosters and the Panthers tonight from 7 o'clock. Joel Kane, Noddy Kamali and Spud Carroll getting ready out there. But Sats, we've got a heap of texts coming in at the moment.
Yeah, we have. Dan says, all hail Alex. You got some fans out there, haven't you, Maestro?
Yeah. Good stuff, Dan. I hope that's not tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, for our hot topic, thanks to Apple iSports. And we're going to talk about the boxing, which is a real hot topic, a massive weekend for Australian boxing on Saturday and Sunday. But also the hot topic has been the AFL. And there's been a lot of listeners that are still quite passionate about it. Rooster Muzzy, I did mean nostalgic and sentimental. Not the word. What are you? Sympathetic, yeah. Hi, boys. If they're under the influence, this is AFL players, of drugs, it may be why some AFL players are knocking themselves out during games in collisions. Hey, dude, what's happened? Rafa says. Now, I don't think players deliberately knock themselves out, but what he's saying is during a game, if they know they're going to be drug tested by WADA or SADA, that they'll get a concussion and therefore get taken to hospital. I once played rugby league with a player who shall remain nameless. We were walking because Asada used to turn up at half time So yes. You didn't know they were there before the game. So we're walking up the tunnel at halftime, and as you walk past the room that they use, you see them all setting up, putting out the cups and the paperwork and everything. Walk in, halftime speech, run back out, play second half. Said player knocked out, ambulance, had to go to the hospital. So if his number was chosen, unfortunately, there had to be an emergency number used because he'd had to go to the hospital and couldn't be tested.
Mm.
So, Rafa, you may be onto something there. Now, in relation to the same matter, it's even more disturbing that taxpayers' dollars go to the AFL when there's charities that do good and receive little to no funding at all. Mm. Steve-O says, I learned the other day that Lifeline gets no government funding.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of good organisations out there that are crying out for dollars.
Yeah.
Don't get them.
I can't believe it.
Lifeline's a big one of those.
So,
we
also got John says, can you imagine if the shoe was on the other foot and it was the NRL who had the drug problem and this system in place? Can you imagine the outcry from the Melbourne journalists? Yeah, we can, because Melbourne journalists think everything revolves around Melbourne.
And the other thing, the NRL, you think the NRL journos would be staying quiet about it and leaving players unnamed?
Exactly.
Please.
133 says, agree, Sats. Case in point, Ben Cousins. Had the AFL not learnt anything? Exactly. Mm. I mean, there's a guy that had a habitual drug problem through his career. And like I said last night, there could be some players who post-career become addicted to a drug, said drug.
Yeah.
And if they're part of this whole process, have the ability to point the finger back and say, you know what? You swept this under the carpet on a number of occasions for myself when I played, and I never got to the other side. There was no rehabilitation. Yeah. There was no education, whatever it may be. So,
to provide the other side of the AFL there, I think they'd protect themselves in court by saying we were putting him through rehab programs, and that was part of the reason we wanted to keep the identity a secret and not charge him, deal with it. As Andrew Dillon said today, they want to deal with it as a health issue rather than something they're punishing players for. I can understand that sentiment, but I have to agree with you in the fact that I don't know how much on face value I can take that.
No.
Particularly after the story's just broken.
Tick a box, move it on.
Exactly right. Yeah. Renate, let's get some more positive news because, as Steve says, I almost forgot about the Zufai Sats. Been a busy week. He'll have no trouble. I remember Kostya fighting Hugo Pineda, who was just as tall, took him 11 rounds to catch him, but he got him good.
He did.
I was there that night at Paris Stadium, got absolutely soaked.
Won't be soaked
on Sunday our time, but can you just give me your assessment of this fight? Do you think Timmy's almost a better shout, maybe?
So can I say, before we get excited about Sunday, Saturday, there's a kid from a place in Caboolture called Caboolture in Queensland. Liam Wilson fights in Glendale, California. Now, he's fighting for the world featherweight title, the interim featherweight title, against a guy by the name of Oscar Valdez, a Mexican. He's an absolute savage, this guy. Like, he's got a hard fight on his hand, Liam Wilson. But he wins this. He's a classy fighter. He'll be regarded as a massive upset. Now, Sunday, again, the undercard, Michael Prettyboy Zarafa is fighting a guy called by the name of Eris Landy Lara. Now, Lara's 40. He's from Cuba and lives in America. Really classy fighter, even though he's 40. Yep. Now, this is for the WBA World Middleweight belt as well. Zarafa, I think, beats him. He's a really good fighter, this Lara. Now, how about this story? This Lara, raised in Cuba, and everyone who knows boxing knows that Cuban fighters are some of the smartest
fighters
of all time.
Yep.
Yeah, renowned for winning gold medals at Olympics for boxing. Now, he was a favorite to win the gold medal in the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games. This Lara, the one that Zarafa's fighting. In 2007, while he was fighting for Cuba at the Pan American Games in Brazil, some weeks later, he defected from Cuba into Brazil and then into America. And he was caught some weeks later, and he was caught by the Brazilian authorities and returned to Cuba, and he was banned from training any form of boxing. So then he got out again. And hence why he's now a professional and fighting for a world title at 40. He's had a world title. He's a pretty classy fighter. But I think Michael Zarafa gets him. And then the one we're all looking forward to, Timmy Zhu, he fights for two world title belts, the WBO, WBC super welterweight belts. If he wins this fight, the WBO, well, Terrence Bud Crawford, if he wants that belt, he's got to come up and go through Tim. And
isn't that
It's worth anywhere from $10 to $20 million for Tim Zhu. And he's fighting a guy by the name of Sebastian Fondora, who's just a touch under 6'5", and he's 72 kilos. He looks absolutely creepy at 72 kilos and 6'5". He's a really good fighter. But two guys that he has fought, Maestro and listeners,
yes,
Brian Mendoza and Ocampo, who Mendoza knocked him out badly,
yes,
and Ocampo beat him also. But Tim Zhu, he beat Mendoza and knocked out Ocampo in the first round. So I think Tim Zhu absolutely destroys Fondora and he'll win both those belts. And I think we underestimate what we got here with Tim Zhu. Like, he is, as I was saying during the week, one, he's got DNA on his side, and two, he's got discipline, and he's got this mindset like one of the great fighters used to have, Marvin Hagler. He had like this Spartan-like preparation where he just shuts himself away from the world. And this guy's built differently, Tim Zhu, and I think we'll see something really special on Sunday.
I'm hoping you're right. I'll be locked in. Where will you be watching?
I'll be sitting at the Grand Hotel on the big screen watching it there, having the grilled octopus salad and a rump steak and battered fried French fries.
Fair way to spend your Sunday. Fair way to spend your Sunday. Ahead of the footy there, after the footy. That's coming up tonight. SEN League is next up after us on SEN. That was for Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. We'll get to a break, and then we've got the big preview. Panthers, Roosters coming up tonight.
We're back. The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. The warm-up. Thanks to Reem, except nothing less than Australia's best. Roosters host the Panthers at Allianz Stadium tonight.
Yes. Crime Scene is one of our favourites. One of our loyal listeners. But he might have had a couple of tallies this afternoon, and he just gets really aggressive.
He's into
everything this afternoon.
Yeah, go on then.
I love it. Now, we can't read a lot of his stuff out.
Oh, is that right?
But he did get involved in the New South Wales team. He says, New South Wales have the burden of wokeness on their shoulders. They will pick players who are disruptive and out of form. I don't reckon they will, Crime Scene. I don't reckon they will. I'm not quite sure. We can't read out the other ones, Crime Scene, but I do love
cynical.
Them. I do
very
love them.
Cynical, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you live your life like that.
It keeps me honest when I read his
messages.
Come
on, Crime Scene. Yeah, come on. Get excited. G'day, about
lads. Kiwi from Brisbane says, g'day, lads. If we are talking about who are locks for New South Wales, as in positional wise, not the lock position, but he said Payne Haas and Cleary would be it. Yeah, I think you're
right. As long as they're fit, too.
Yeah, true.
That's the other thing.
Yep.
I'd have Tommy as a lock there, too.
Yeah, I think
so. The way he started this season. But I think you're almost right on that one. There's going to be a lot of rotation. I look at, again, my Manly bias coming in here, but Hamole Olakau'atu. I mean, how that guy wasn't picked for Origin last year is still beyond me.
Luke Brooks a lock.
Exactly. Luke Brooks a lock. No, don't mention Luke Brooks yet. He's just getting into his form, can't we?
Maestro. A lot of love for you, Maestro.
Like that. Oh, that's very
Hillstorm
nice.
Hillstorm Hillary on the text saying, Alex, two nights in a row. Support. You've got a great voice over the airwaves and Sats. We will be riding again. See, Hillstorm Hillary does this flirting, okay?
Yes.
She's a mad flirter.
Over the text. Okay, quickly to the game tonight because we got 2 minutes to wrap it up.
Let's
Roosters,
go.
Home side, welcome back. Luke Keary,
Panthers
young gun
Sandham
Smith is out. Well, there's a surprise. Lindsay Collins out with a hamstring injury. Terrell May, who's been in great form, earns a start in Collins' place, and Egan Butcher comes onto the bench. Nathan Cleary off, obviously missing for the Panthers. Brad Schneider partnering Luai. You think the Panthers will win? Why?
Sam Walker outstanding. Love that Luke Keary's back. Love JWH, my favourite front rower of all time. And Panthers without Cleary, it'll be tough to win without Cleary. Jerome Luai, they've got a really good record, actually, with
Luai. I was going to say, what do you make of that halves combination?
Yeah, no, be
I
fine.
Ask Brandy.
Brad Schneider's a good player, a really, really good player, and he's been playing really well in New South Wales Cup. Not the same as NRL, but he's still a very, very good player. And as we've seen with these really good sides like your Melbournes and your Penrith, you just bring a player in, you slot them in, they do their job, and the rest is done by the superstars of the side. So it's going to be a really aggressive game. what I love are the matchups. We've got Tungor versus Manu. We've got Teddy versus Edwards. We've got Radley versus Yo. We've got JWH versus Leota. Kiri versus Luai. They're everywhere. I'm going Penny Panthers by four.
I'm really.
Are you serious?
I'm really looking at how the Panthers go down the right edge, because that's been the strength. Tungo's been in such terrific form. Taruva's getting on the score sheet because of that. How Joey Manu and the man outside him sort of deal with that.
Mickey G says really Chooks by 13 plus. Rooster Muzz, get a rooster
you're
up here.
You're dreaming.
Yeah.
you're dreaming.
Yeah.
Good on you, Rooster Muzz.
Thanks,
go well
Buster.
Tonight.
Thanks,
best
Radelaide
of luck.
Rooster. Thanks, Rabbit Burrow tomorrow. Thanks, Lester. Thank you, everyone, for your text.
Do we have any texters other than Steve from Dubbo that text in and Hillstorm who aren't Roosters fans?
Oh, we've got a few Roosters fans, yeah. A lot of Roosters fans. Radelaide Roosters there. He's an Adelaide boy.
Make sure you give him hell. So, coming up, Joel Kane, Brett Camorley, Spud Carroll from Allianz Stadium. Thanks so much for having me tonight, Sats.
Thank you, Maestro.
And
you're always welcome.
For putting it all together. Jace will be back next week on Tuesday. I think you guys are back. You got the long weekend, is that right?
Yeah, the Rats
and
here
the
as
rat,
well.
And the Rats back. So, the full team, the A-team, back on Tuesday. But for now, good night and enjoy
Panthers.
The football.
I'm going to take my break now.